And that's why, you see, you don't, you know, those are all those childish talks we talk. Let's talk about money as an example. And God knows if I get all this money, I can use it to preach the gospel. I've heard it before. People have told me things like that. Pray that I will get the job. It's because God knows that if I get this money, all right? You know, as if, God, this will advance your purpose. The truth is that it won't. The truth is that what? It will not. What God wants from you is to locate his will under every circumstance. No matter what the outward consequence will look like, even in concern the preaching of the gospel, all right? But and then you do that will which he wants you to do. That's what Oswald Chambers explained there. That Jesus didn't come to save the world. He was doing the will of the Father. And I'm saying to you again, what you have been called to do is to do the will of God. Now, please listen to this. There's a problem we have with a lot of our preachings modern day, and I thank God that it's bringing balance into it. You can pray and God will give you a job. Amen? And most times, he does that. But you know the interesting thing? You can pray and God will take away the job that you have already. And a lot of times, he does that. Let me say this to us clearly again. God does not define success in your life by the amount of money you have. It is a nice thing to say, this year is my year of breakthrough. The problem is that you don't know how to define the breakthrough. I'm sorry. That is the problem. If I say some of these things, it will appear as if I'm preaching against faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? It has happened to me before. Let me give myself as a personal testimony. That God said that bank, you won't work for a while. Don't think that he just woke up and say, bank, you wake up. I say, hey, who's that? I say, oh, Lord, now you, all right, what's up? I want you to know you won't work for a while. No. I will just get up, all right, to go and look for work as normal people should. And, you know, it just so happened that inside me, I will know I won't get it. Now, let me not bore you with the details. It was after my NYC. I still remember the greeting my friend gave me, Chooks. He said, Black. That's what he calls me. He said, Black. Hey, you're the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. Don't think I was trying to be idle. I actually didn't find work. But my life is very spiritual. It's controlled by God. I know what he's doing. I know he's one in charge. Something happened recently. My wife knows what I'm talking about now. And I said, I know this is the hand of God. I have seen God close a door. You have to learn how to thank God when he closes doors. I've told this story before. I've made my wife promises by faith from time. When I was about to start fulfilling some promises of taking her on trips around, the first time the door opened, everything sounded so perfect. Last minute, the Lord shut the door. I had booked flights, booked hotel rooms. If I tell you, there was a brand new Lumeridian that was open in Dubai. I had booked 5 days to stay there. My wife was supposed to meet me in Dubai. Last minute, they denied the visa. Dubai. After that, they granted, as soon as our plane that would have taken her to Dubai took off, they granted the visa. Tried to change her flight to the next one, all the flights were booked. I don't have time to give you the details of the story. The fact was that as it was happening, I knew it was the hand of God. I had no doubt. In fact, God is very, very good. He needed to do that so that my wife will understand that this, your husband, means well. He just that these circumstances are beyond his control. If he had revealed to me by ideas and thoughts, and I called my wife and said, look, let's cancel this trip, I don't think she had the capacity to understand. Yes, I don't complain about things too much. No, I don't. That's why I don't. I know the way God, look, sometimes at the worker, sometimes I can almost feel God around me like, which side? Are you here? You know? Like, I know he's controlling my life. I don't doubt it. There are times things go the way I would like them. There are times they go the way I wouldn't want, but I still know it's the will of God. That's why, if you still believe that gospel, that God only does what is good, and everything that is not good is devil, make sure you know how to define the word good, because you must never forget that all things All things work together for good to them that love God. It's not one thing that appears good. It's all of them. When you put them together, you find out that good is coming to your life. You have left your Saturday evenings, you left all the things you had to do on Saturday to come and listen to me talk. I've been to places. I went to Asaba the other day to go and preach somewhere. And I was already there. I would be there. A lot of people came because Pastor Banky was coming. And they formed a long queue to shake Pastor Banky's hand. People came from different places. I'm bringing out something. Why? Let me tell you the truth. The foundation was laid. That season I told that God said, you won't walk. That season that I said, God said, you will not walk. People will rebuke the devil. Oh, you devil that is withholding my progress. Listen to me. There's no devil that can withhold my progress. They never born that one. In fact, in Papa, they never born them. You are getting the point? There is no devil, no human being on this earth that can withhold my progress. You can only withhold what your hand can reach. You can only hold what you can identify. You can only hold what you have the capacity to have your hand go around. When things are bigger than you, how do you hold them? Even if your name is Superman, can you hold a Mack truck trying to pass? You know they call it truck, you know, Mack. Okay, you see those trucks that are used for construction? Stand in front of it. No matter how much you hate Cetraco, if you like, hate Cetraco from now till tomorrow, when their truck wants to pass, shift. Yeah, because, listen, the truck won't stop because of your weight. It will not even know it hit somebody. You don't know. A lot of these big trucks, they jam person for express. They know. Just they go. Because the person is so small. That's how my progress is as far as the devil is concerned. Can grind the head of the devil. All right? That is, may the devil put in head when I won't pass. The devil will die a second death quickly. Now, please, I'm trying to explain something. So I don't believe that the devil is withholding my progress. How can he? He doesn't have the power. I've learned to judge my life according to God's purpose. If things are not going the way I wanted to go, I settled down and said, Lord, what's happening? What's happening? Why is this not going like this? But to say, devil, I rebuke you. Take your hands off. What can you do? Listen. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of my time. I will never have a prayer vigil because of Satan. Never. In my own personal life, no. No, I won't ever do that. Because it's not necessary. That's the point. It's not necessary. Please, I hope you are following what I'm trying to explain. Listen, I told a sister once, a senior person to me, woman has a prophetic anointing. We're talking about this marriage matter. Senior to me. You know, I asked the young man what's happening with him, and we're just chatting. And I made a statement then, and that carried me, and that was what was carrying me. I had not met my wife that time. I wasn't married. All right? I said, it's not possible. I can't marry a wrong woman. She said, what do I mean? Because how a lot of us were brought up is that, look, you will learn, you know, we'll do seminar, how to find out the will of God. You've been there when I did my own seminar. You know that I never gave you steps. Step one, pray until your spirit becomes melodious. there are statements I don't make. Such methods don't exist. What I always teach is that tune your heart. If you see the summary of it is, tune your heart to the place where you desire and delight in the will of God. That is, if a man's heart is separated from me, his eye does it before his eyes, and his stumbling block of his iniquity, if they are all there, the man says, I want to know the will of God. God says, what am I going to say to this guy? I will say things to him that will confuse him. That is, if a man's heart is united, that has always been my understanding. People have thought that when you want to know God's will, you start praying. You wake up at 6 a.m., you pray till 7. By the time you finish praying, don't pray in English, pray in other tongues. When you are praying in other tongues long enough, you discover that your spirit will not be able to receive things that are from outside. The only things that will be coming from heaven is what you will receive. Listen to me, it's a lie. You can pray in tongues from that. Look, Jesus Christ, after he was in the wilderness fasting for 40 days, the first thing he saw after was what? Devil. I hope you understand that point. So pray for 10 hours has not driven away the devil. When you finish, when you are feeling very spiritual, that's when he will show up. So now you have prayed. Let me give you a suggestion. If you lie to yourself that only the Holy Spirit speaks after you have prayed, that's it. You are going to soon start obeying the devil. Because after Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and was in the wilderness praying for 40 days and 40 nights, I mean, he was just caught up in the Spirit. As soon as he appeared, the first person that showed up was whom? Devil. So don't think that I'm just coming from the place where the word of God is coming forth. So anything that happens right now, as soon as you go downstairs, you know, one man told me something once. I preached something against it. I didn't know him, I was just talking. All right? And I said, well, if something just comes in such a dramatic method, that is, I said, listen to me. If you are walking on the road, and one of the harlots on the road stops you and say, as I see you so, I like you. I want to marry you. Will you tell him that because the thing came so easily and so dramatically, you go marry? So my friend, what is driving you is your lust. Don't deceive me with all this. There are many things that come easily. Car jamming you comes easily, but you disappear every time the car is approaching. Is that not so? No, it's true. There are many, look, you want to get sacked from your work, it comes easily. Just don't show up for 1 week, they will fire you. It will come very easily. Does it mean it is God? Now, please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain here. All right, so, anyway, I told the lady then that in everything, I have consecrated my life to God. And I have told him, Lord, do with me as you see fit. In this marriage matter, I used to say it then, and I still believe it today, although it's relevant anymore, but that's what I still believe. Oswald Chambers used to say that the will of God is not, that is not how the thing came to, you came to know that makes it the will of God, is that the will of God first took over your whole life. You understand my point? That's what makes something the will of God. I told the sister then, I said, I have already told the Lord, do with me as you see fit. I am yours. My life is sold out. I want to serve your purpose in life. As if I hear voices that say, marry this woman, to me, it doesn't mean anything. I will obey the voice and try to marry. Are you getting my point? I said, I can like somebody from now till, you know, from as far as east from the west, and I saw my love for the person long. I said, it doesn't mean anything. No, I'm serious. These were dedications I made to God long ago. And you can ask my wife, what I'm saying is not a lie. Even after we were engaged, she thought I was crazy because I told her, the day I will know indeed that you are the will of God for my life is on the wedding day. I said, because, yes, I'm telling you. I wasn't very nice. I didn't know I shouldn't say such things, but, you know, I said them. I said, because I had told God, whatever you have to do, do. Just make sure I don't marry the wrong person. I see women saying, you broke my heart. It's a good thing. They should break your heart periodically. Your heart goes strong. Well. No, I'm telling you. So, man, tell you, they know they marry you again. So? It will pain you. Yes, I agree. I'll give you 2 weeks to get over it. I'm telling you the truth. Listen, the problem we have is that we are not totally committed to God. Because if we were, you would know that he only took away the first that he might establish the second. What's the big deal? For me, what you have just shown me, all right, is that you are not the will of God. That's all. You haven't shown. I'm not saying it won't hurt. It will pain small. But really, it doesn't. As God is my winner, I won't feel like a failure. Because I succeeded before I met you. And this life is going forward to explode in divine success. That what we are trying to do is arrange the companions of divine success. And you have just said you are not the one. What is the big deal? I remember then, as soon as they said, you may kiss the bride, I told my wife, there's something I always wanted to tell you. He said, now say it. I said, I love you. You are God's gift to me. Until that day, I did not say it. He said, is that all you wanted to say? Yes. All this while, you can't keep me waiting. It's not a big thing. I said, not a big thing, no. I don't know whether she can still remember. Because Ed Cole, I learned those words from Ed Cole. Ed Cole told, you know, he was doing the marriage kind of seminar, you know. So he told everybody, stand beside your wife. They said a lot of things. He said, tell your wife, tell your husband, I love you, you are God's gift to me. I told my wife, I couldn't say that one until this day. All the one before now, na idea, na attraction. It is today we now know the one that's really the will of God. So I told the lady then, I said, that's what I believe. All right, that's before I even got married. and she made a statement. She quoted a scripture which I asked her later. There was some scripture you quoted she couldn't remember. I searched and searched it today. I can't remember that scripture. But it had to do with Jacob. And what she said that scripture meant was that when I told her that this is what I have believed, she said, Banky, you know this is not for everybody. And that's where my message for today is going. He said, Banky, you know this is not for everybody. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's only for those, listen, no, it's only for those who have consecrated their lives totally to God. This one that you are saying that, whatever I like, let me do. I must do the will of God eventually. He said, it's only if you have settled down and told God, yes, your will I must do totally. Don't forget the parable of the sower, which I alluded to last time. That the sower went forth to sow. Amongst those that bore fruit, some bore fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, some what? 100-fold. What I want to preach to you today is that 100-fold blessing, which comes from 100-fold consecration, which comes from totally giving your life, listen, to Christ. I don't mean you went off for altar call. I like the way Luke said it here. He said, let him daily take his cross. Listen, Christians, you must take your cross. What do you mean by your cross? We've heard it several times said that it's a denial of self. Yes, I think we should get back to denying ourselves. The problem we have is that we thought it was denying our clothes and denying our money. I'll tell you what real self is. It's your goals, your ambitions. That's the basic thing. What really do you want to become in life? And why do you want to become that thing? What are you chasing after? Are you getting my point? I told you before, Christianity is not an easy game. Let me tell you the truth. I'll say it again, I said it before. If you cannot sing the song, take the whole world and give me Jesus, you're a failure of a believer. I don't care the lie anybody wants to tell you, that was in unbelief. Listen, that song is not the song of unbelief. It's a song of priority. Are you getting my point? It's a song of putting something first. Many years ago, I prayed and I was meditating. I said, Lord, how come Paul said, those who want to become rich, all right, pass themselves through many hurtful lusts and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Yet you bless Abraham with riches. Yet you bless Job with riches. And you are now saying that those who want to become rich, they are going to have a lot of troubles. Then I got the understanding. There are two ways to get things in life. One, going after them. The second one, going after God, and God adds them to you. Listen to me. The believer that will really be rich properly in life will be the man who wouldn't care if he were poor. Let me say it again. The man, the woman, the child of God that will really be rich in life is the one that wouldn't care even though he were poor. That's why Jesus said, the one that wants to save his life is the one that will lose it. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, you know what they call reconsecration to God? Because indeed, the God of Jesus Christ, who used to go to parties, honor invitations, wear nice robes that soldiers were casting lots on who we take, who had perfume so expensive that an average workman needed to work for a whole year without eating from his money to buy it, who had such a perfume poured on him only once. Hear this, it was the same God that anointed John the Baptist and sent him into the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey. People will say that was Old Testament. And you know, he did not, all of a sudden, lie. He said, I'm a disciple of Christ Jesus. Okay, fine. Then die at the age of 33 on the cross. Follow him totally. Don't follow him when it comes only to wearing fine clothes. Don't follow him only when it comes to expensive perfumes. Don't follow him only when it comes to the honor and glory that followed his personality. Don't forget, at the age of 33, they took him. Maybe you don't get the point. You see all those ones you see on television where they tie one small, on images, they tie one small loincloth around Jesus to hang him on the cross. Even Mel Gibson didn't have the boldness to remove that loincloth. In reality, they beat him naked. Oh. In reality, they took him in the afternoon, tried him overnight, started at night, tried him throughout the night until the next day, and killed him, hung him. You don't get my point. They hung him high so that everybody could see he was hung on a hill. I'm not going to explain. I know God has good things in store for his children. But listen, you don't come to God bargaining for good things. You know what you come to God with? Total consecration. Say this is my life. Take it. Do what you like with it. There are those, listen to me, you have built dreams and ambitions. What you will do, where you want to go. And listen to me, it happens. One day God is going to stop you and say, you ain't going anywhere. You hear what I said? You are not going what? Anywhere. I don't want to say this, but it's very common with women. You've been praying that God will convert that man. You love him so much. Listen to me, hear this tonight. He's not going to convert him. The man is an unbeliever. You're not going to marry him, period. You just have to make a choice. Jesus said, count the cost. I'm not begging you. Are you getting my point? You don't know, it's not there. This is the last day. You better follow me now. You never can tell. He said, you want to follow me? Have you counted the cost? When he finished with one man, the man said, wait, excuse me, sir. Let me go and bury my father first. You know what it means to bury my father? Let me summarize it. I have family responsibilities. Let me take care of them. I told a friend of mine once, I don't remember the story. He came to my house. He said he was going to South Africa. He was an age mate, childhood friend. But because of the way his own education went, I finished College of Medicine far ahead of him. So by the time I was finishing his house job, I was already a resident doctor. So one day he came to check me up in Luth. What's your plan? And he told me about how he was planning to go to South Africa. And I asked him why. You know, you know my opinion, you know. I said, why? Why don't you stay around, you know? Then, believe me, I don't blame him. Or I did not blame him. What we were paid as doctors, I look back and I realize that those my opinions were not formed by man. They must have been formed by God. Because no rational human being should talk the way I was talking. When I look back now, I thank God that I didn't see what they were seeing. Because my talk was indeed foolish. The wisdom of God is foolishness to men. Believe me. Are you getting my point? Those days, I talk. When I look back, it was stupid talk. I remember one of my colleagues was saying that, it's very annoying. Our salary is only $50 in a month. And I remember the argument. It was vehement. I said, $50? No. My salary is 5,000 naira. He says, $50. I said, I don't spend dollar. I spend naira. And we argued and argued and argued. I said, listen, I don't pay rent in dollars. I don't buy my momo and guguru and ekpa in dollars. I buy them in naira. And this, my 5,000 may be small, but it is enough to do the things that naira does. Let me sit down my message with my friend. He said that he was leaving, and I tell him that, look, it's not necessary. You can. I give him my normal counsel. He said, banking. You see, for you, things are different. He described the problems that and his family, like, I know his family, like family friends. He said, do I know that his smaller sister has a congenital heart defect? I said, I never knew that. He said, yes, that it has to be corrected one day. He said, I've thought about it. Who's going to come up with the money? He said, look, you've gone far ahead of me, so things may be better for you and all of that. And he talked. By the time the guy finished talking, I felt like a fool. Listen. I felt like a man who only thought about himself. That day I was depressed, not because of his problems, because I realized that all I ever did, all right, so I thought, was think about myself. That if I had realized that, I should strive also to help other people. That's why I told you, Jesus did not come to save the world. What did he come to do? To do the will of the Father. I said, I remember that day after he left, I sat in my small apartment there, and I was depressed. I was depressed because I felt stupid. That all this my talk has not put every other people into consideration. I should have worried about my own family too. I should have worried about people I could help and all of that. And I remember very well, it was clear. It was the Holy Spirit that dropped that line in my heart. Except a man hates his father, mother, brother, and sister, he cannot be my disciple. I remember well that the Lord said, oh boy, I love your father more than you love him. I love your mother more than you love her. I love your siblings more than you love them. I love the people you want to help more than you can possibly conceive loving them. You are mine. I own you totally. If I decide I will kill you and they will never see you again, there's nothing you're going to do about it. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That listen, your life was not made so as to please the people. I created you for a purpose, and that's what you must face. I remember that day. I took courage from those words. Except a man hates his father and mother and brother and sister, he cannot be my disciple. Listen, the Christianity that says that when the glory of God is upon you, everybody will love you. Listen, my friend, your father can drive you out of the house. Hear it clearly now. Christianity doesn't make you the friends of everybody. That's why Jesus said, count the cost. Count the cost. Let me say to you, you can be rich, give your life to Christ, and that's it. You will not be rich again till you die. Like I told you, because God is not counting your life in naira and kobo. I like the story of John Gillick. If you count men I admire most that ever lived in this life, all right? He's among the top three. John Gillick was in those days, if you count in today's dollar, would have had many millions of dollars. Then one day God called him. Time to go to Africa. You know what he did? Actually, then he used to minister in. He went to see his boss, his big boss, and told him that, look, every time people come into my office, instead of that's doing business with them, which could net the company a lot of money and net me some good commission, I find myself examining their souls and ministering the word of God to them. That this is a problem. The company is not making money, I'm not making money. So his looked at him and said, I think you need a holiday. I give you 3 months holiday. Another 3 months, you come back, and then he gave him a new salary, which was very plenty. Let's assume it's today's day and age. Now, so when you come back, $1 million a year will not look. He said you won't want to sacrifice that for any religious dreams. He thanked the man very well, left the office, and never came back. Those 3 months, he began to preach from one place to the other. Then one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to them, get ready, so and so time, you are going to Africa. Listen to me. He sold. Now, listen. He sold all that he had. Every single thing he had, he sold and distributed the money here and there until to pay for the trip to Africa, South Africa, he had to pray for the money to come. This was a very rich man. When you see his life, it was the one I told you that ministering to people. Oh God, go and read his story. The one I said, I put plague on my body. The bacteria can't survive. That's why I don't need the vaccine. And listen, they did, and the bacteria indeed died. Now, such power with God didn't come like, no, everybody say, you take the whole world and take Jesus with it. You can't take the world and give me only Jesus. The world is mine. And that's nonsense. It's a gospel of people who have not yet understood divine truth. I said there are two reasons, ways people get money in life. One, by running after it. Then when I prayed, God said the second way is simple. When people follow me, I do with them as I please. Are you getting my point? Listen, you will never lack. If you obey the truth of God, you will never lack. I'm not preaching poverty. But listen, there are those, now listen to this. I'm not saying this will apply to everybody. But there are those sitting here this evening, hearing me. I don't want anybody to shout amen, because some of those amens are covetous. So I ban you from saying amen concerning what I'm about to say. Just hear it and know you have learnt it. Alright? Because there are those it won't apply to. But there are those listening to me. Don't say amen. Alright? Just hear it. There are those listening to me sitting down here that they will have so much money, they will not have the ability to count it. Now, why I'm saying you don't say amen? Because once I want to say amen, you are looking at, oh, I will be rich. No. That is, they would not even feel a thing concerning the money. That is, if tomorrow, today, you value everything they had is $100 billion. The next day they say, the Lord said you should sell everything, give it away. You are going to be a missionary in Malaysia. They won't feel anything. Do you get my point? They won't toss and turn at night and say, God, why did you? No! That's how God brings money into people's lives. This one that we are doing kalo-kalo with God. Because when I give you, you will give back to me. I have told you it's satanic. He and I have warned you. If you don't want to die needlessly, stop practicing that rubbish. If you don't want to give, don't give. Go to hell with your money. But if you want to walk with God, listen, you will give your head if necessary. How much more money?
What does joke we play with Christianity? Like, I told you, if you don't want to serve God, don't serve him. He's not begging you. He's not begging. I don't need anybody to come and wind me. Oh, there's a special breakthrough coming today. Who will come forward now? Use 50,000 to connect with the breakthrough. You and the pastor, both of you are criminals. Thank God for his mercy that has suspended judgment upon all of us. What nonsense miracle are you connecting with money? Are you Simon the sorcerer? That's why people can't give money. Because their life, it has not been given to Christ. Sometimes people come and start telling fantastic stories. And today Bakari said that he went somewhere to preach. A preacher actually came there before him and said, in my father's house there are many mansions. I have gone before you to go and prepare a big mansion for you. You can increase the size of your mansion in heaven by the amount of money you give on the earth. And jokers, moguls, were running forward to give money towards mansion in heaven. Obviously, they are not serving Christ Jesus. They are serving themselves. You want mansion in heaven? I'll tell you how to do it. There are those who don't give money financially now, anything. But they give their whole life. Do you get my point? Life. It's not money. Life. Life. Let's dedicate ourselves to Christ indeed. Are you getting my point? And say to him, do with me as you please. Then the giving of money won't be a problem. I don't care who preaches it. I don't believe that we give because we want to get. I believe that we give because it's called faithfulness. That God does not rain money into Cosmo FM so that Pastor Banky can pay for Way of Success. Are you getting my point? Therefore, if I must pay for Way of Success, somebody must bring the money. Therefore, if I feel like I'm the one that's supposed to bring the money, it's my job. It's not bribery. Love, our gospels are engineered by covetousness, selfishness, wickedness in the hearts of men. People who, you know, as they are giving offering, they have tied rope to it. If you don't multiply it, I'll pull it back. What have I preached? He said, count the cost if you want to follow me. You want me to count the cost? Let me explain to you what you mean by count the cost. Your friends will show you where they make a million naira a month. They are not stealing. No, I told you that. We're not talking about those who steal and those who steal. We're talking about legitimate things. And you will know in your soul, this is where you are supposed to be. And the money is not even up to 100,000 in a month. Like I told you, God didn't send you to finance the gospel. He sent you to do what? Do the will of the Father. While doing the will of the Father, there are those who will discover that money is flowing to, listen to me, is flowing towards them so much, they won't need anybody to explain that, like I tell my moms in a while, I have seen people who don't have as much as I have. I have seen those who have more, all right? But that's where I look at my own life. I say, this man who doesn't seem to have as much as I do, maybe we're contemporaries and stuff like that, is it because he's lazier than I am? No. Is it because he's stupider than I am? No. Is it because he does not love God as much as I do? No. I don't think so. Therefore, what does that mean? I said, my wife, it appears like what God is saying that we should share the one we have with some people. Simple. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? It appears like God says we should share the one we have with some people. That's my own principle. You have to give God something special that he might do something special for you. Now, when you are saying it, I'm sorry, I can't, I lose respect for you actually. That you don't seem to know what you are saying. What is one of bribing God? I don't understand it. I am saying that my whole life, you know, there was a prayer during the night. I woke up to pray about something. I was praying for somebody. Something happened in his life, not somebody you know, it's a friend of mine. And I suddenly in my brain plotted a tangent, you know, plotted a graph of where his life might reach if God does not turn some things around. And for this, I have been worried. When I woke up during the night, I said, God, I beg. I first told God all the sins I know the boy commits. I said, God, I know.
But please, you will have mercy. No, because I realized that you turn like this, a man's life can be completely wrecked. That is, though he was a multi-millionaire today, tomorrow he's begging. Ola Yinka gave me the newest edition of Bottom Line. And Whitney Houston, they are selling her clothes to pay her debt. They are selling some of her, you know what I call, what do you call the awards and stuff to pay her debt. Mike Tyson is so broke. Oh my God. Mike Tyson. And they said this man earned over $300 million boxing. And the nigga is not yet 40. He's not yet 40. He started boxing when he was like 19. Boxed for some years and earned over $300 million US dollars. And the jackass is broke. He's not only broke, he's in debt. One man was describing somebody that he saw. I don't know whether Robert Kiyosaki or one of these other writers. Who was a, you know, like a basketball great. And one day he drove him somewhere. The guy was there washing cars for a living. Men who were paid millions of dollars a year. I have looked at life. Believe me, I don't think there's anything the man has that can assure him of tomorrow. You know, I've told you that thing several times. Nothing. Therefore, I've said, God, I beg, you will help me. Just lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. Where do I want to go in life? But the place you want me to go. What do I want to be in life? But that which you want me to be. Forget it. Oh, the gospel of prosperity doesn't mean we are competing on who's going to be the richest. If I want anything and I admire it and I like it, I kneel down and I pray God for it. I ask him, dear Lord, give me this thing. You know, I explain something. I'm not preaching asceticism. All of you that are living in big houses, pack. I'm going to live in hot. So that you know God is pleased with you. That's not Christianity. Christianity, however, is that if the Lord leads you to a hut, you don't complain when you enter the hut. There is a Lord that I even have this thatched roof over my head. I thank you. There are those that don't even have thatched roof. If they remove the thatched roof, say, Father, I worship you. Are you not good? Look at the sky above my head. Remove that one. Are you getting my point? There's one prayer point. Our time is gone. That will leave with you. We'll pray that prayer and then we'll close. I have not come today to make you feel good. I have come to make you get serious. Are you getting my point? The will of God is not that which is sweetest. The will of God, which is the one that is his will. That's what it means. Listen, you will bow down your head and you will pray. It's not compulsory, but it's the prayer point I want to lay down. Say, Lord, where I have made my own ambition, that is, where I have made you the means to serving my own ambition, God, please forgive me. Lead me, it's a simple prayer. Lead me in the path of your will for my life. Jesus looked and said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was going to go through a hard place. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was going to experience a lot of pain. He said, nevertheless, not my will. Pray and say, God, whatever I go through in my life, not my will, but yours.